Steve Gaines is on right now, co-author of All You Need Is Love, The Beatles in Their Own Words.
Nice.
How you doing?
Hey, good. I'm doing great. You know, I'm on the end of Long Island, so I'm just across the sound from you guys.
Whereabouts on Long Island?
The far east end.
Oh, yes.
Do you want me to say the words? The Hamptons.
Good Hamptons.
Okay. Do you get crap when you hear that?
Get me a scone and some biscuits.
Good heavens, man. This crumpet.
It's not so fancy anymore. No. Trust me. Yeah. Yeah, trust me. We've been invaded by Coney Island. But that's good. I grew up in Coney Island.
Hey, easy. My mom grew up in Coney Island.
Island versus Island. What are you going to do?
Ocean Parkway. And you know who else lives here?
Who?
Paul McCartney.
Good heavens, man.
Oh.
Good
what heavens. Does he think of your book?
Oh, Paul doesn't speak to me or to Peter Brown for years since the first book in 1984. I don't remember the name of my first book. The Love You Make on the Beatles. He was very, very angry about that first book, and he and Linda threw that book in the fireplace.
Oh.
And she photographed it. They page by page, they burned it.
Oh,
so
what was in the book?
The thing is this, you know, Peter Brown, who is my co-author, was a Beatle insider. He came with them from Liverpool. He arranged John and Yoko's wedding. He introduced Linda to Paul. I mean, he was an insider there.
Yeah.
And they had an agreement that the Liverpool team, that little group of eight or nine people that came from Liverpool, would never tell the secrets. And Peter broke that. Peter finally, after it was 1980, he decided that he wanted to write a book about his life. Listen, it was about Peter Brown's life as well. And so we went to London. John was still alive. We went to London and we interviewed everybody. But Peter told them that we were writing a book about the 60s. We were writing a book about the 60s.
It wasn't wrong.
Well, right, but it was a little bit of a fib. So when the book came out and there was all this intimate stuff in it, I don't mean sex intimate stuff, but, you know, about how it worked, why they were angry at each other, what role did Yoko really play, they were not happy. And then, you know, we did all the interviews from September to the end of November in 1980. And by the time Peter Brown and I got back to the United States for Thanksgiving, John was murdered 8 days later.
Wow.
So that was a big, stunning. We don't have John in that first book. In the second book, All You Need Is Love, we took all of the interviews from the first book. There were 200,000 words of interviews, and we cut them down to 100,000 words. And this is just the interviews. This is all of them speaking in their own voice what they had to say. And because John was killed, they speak a lot about John and their real thoughts about John. They all really worshiped John and cared a lot about what he said. And when you read All You Need Is Love, you see that and you can hear that in what everybody says. And they also were very angry at him. They were angry at him because of Yoko, and they were angry at him because, you know, John can have a very nasty side to him. And Alan Klein, I don't know if you know the Beatles mythology,
yeah,
but Alan Klein was a really bad lawyer that John hired to be his lawyer, his go get him dog, you know, in the fight against Paul. So things turn really black, and this new book has them talking about each other just before things went really downhill. So
that Beatles organization completely unraveled after their manager died. Would you agree with that?
100%. He was the glue that kept them together. And even though, you know, Brian was incapacitated, Brian was in some, like, rehab when Sergeant Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band came out. Brian Epstein, their manager, was already dealing with his own kind of sleeping pill drug problems. So once he died, they were a mess. And guess who took over? Paul. And, you know,
you could see that in the Get Back special, can't you?
Yeah. And, you know, I really love Paul. He's of all of them. He's smart. He's charming. He's very, very fair about things. He has a great sense of justice and what's correct. But he also is, move on. Let's do something next. We can't let Brian's death stop us. So the thing that he made them do next was their worst disaster ever, the Magical Mystery Tour. And then things kind of, John found Yoko to be his sergeant at arms, and Paul found Linda to be his sergeant at arms, and things went downhill from there, and you can see it happening in the new book.
It's interesting that a band in their worst time period still produced so many great songs that will last forever.
Yeah.
It's amazing. Huh?
It's amazing.
They were so brilliant. It's just the most gorgeous songs and melodies and tunes. And, when you see that documentary, the last one that came out, the Peter Jackson one, it gave me chills because John would, strum six notes or something, and I'd say, I know what that song is going to turn out to be.
Right.
That's going to be some amazing. It came out of his head.
Yeah.
It just.
And Paul, the same thing.
That
whole segment where he's working on Get Back.
Yeah.
Just doing fiddling on the bass.
And think about the luck that these guys from Liverpool met each other at a church fete, at a church, a celebration. Just the luck of it all, and the amazing talent that they had. And then having Brian Epstein, push them into this global stardom. So the story is remarkable, and musical geniuses, absolutely musical geniuses. So I like Patty Boyd, George's wife, first wife, the best. She was.
Give us, so anyone who's just beaming in and doesn't know this story, give us a little bit on Patty Boyd, that story.
So George met Patty Boyd when they were making their very first movie. She was an extra on the set, and she was absolutely stunning. Is still, Patty Boyd is easily 77 or 78. You wouldn't believe how beautiful she was. She was beautiful and charming, and George fell in love with her. And they got married, but she always had a, he cheated on her a lot. And he didn't treat her very well. And all the inside people say, oh, George was really bad to Patty. And George's best friend was Eric Clapton. And he was in love with Patty, too.
Oops.
He wrote Layla for Patty. And
he wrote Layla, Bell Bottom Blues.
Right.
And George wrote something. She had three. And Clapton also wrote Wonderful Tonight.
No.
That's right. Wonderful
Tonight. So she's had four classic rock songs written about her.
Not too full of herself.
Yeah.
She made me melt. Eric kept on giving her stuffed toys for her birthday, for Christmas, for everything, and he gave her one kind of stuffed toy. And I was with him one night, and I said, I can't remember what kind of stuffed toy, was. She said, guess. And I said, it was a frog. Were they frogs? And she said to me, I wish I could do it like she did it. She said to me, good boy. I thought, oh, God, this woman's making me melt.
Right. Just that, the way she did it.
Right.
Made your DNA pop like popcorn.
Doink.
Yes, exactly. All she said was, good boy. So that marriage ended in a really weird way. But she went on. Her full name is Patty Boyd Harrison Clapton. And I forget the name of her husband now. But she was wonderful. Bringo was an angel, really funny, sweet, warm. I had a great, great time always with him. And George, talk about living in the material world. George's house was so big. It wasn't a house, it was a palace.
Right.
That when I came in the front door, there were all these bicycles. Eight bicycles. And I said, what's this for? And he said, well, the house is so big that we bicycle to the other end of it.
That's a big house.
Wow.
I'm not kidding you. I swear,
That's a big
house. And then he said, do you want to have a cup of tea? So we went into his kitchen. And, while this is happening, as I said, I'm a kid originally from Brooklyn, Long Island. You get to meet the Beatles for the first time.
Yeah.
I'm sitting in the kitchen thinking, George Harrison's making me a cup of tea?
Nice.
It's just like... But he said one thing to me. He lectured me. and lectured me about everything. You know, karma is like a string with knots in it, and you have to untie the, you know, all of that kind of crazy stuff. And then I said to him, well, you realize, did you realize at the top of your fame how much power you had? You just would say transcendental meditation and millions of people would try it. And I said to him, I grew this mustache because you grew a mustache. And George said, that's about the dumbest thing I ever heard.
Stop copying me.
Wasn't that weird? It's so funny.
Right, they were so down to earth in that way.
Yeah.
They were wonderful. They were wonderful. And John Lennon was, he was tough. He was sarcastic and biting and, you know.
He was like the dad of that group, though, right? They all looked to him for his approval.
The alpha leader.
All looked to him.
Yeah.
They all looked to him. John, it was John's group. When it was first formed, it was always John's group. And they said that to the very end, you know. And as I said earlier, Paul's just a lovely man, just even though he won't speak to me or Peter Brown. He's just a lovely, nice person. And his wife, Nancy Chevelle, is just also a terrific gal. So, and you know, in this new book, we have people that you never even heard of. It's not just the Beatles. It's art dealers, their friends, their, you know, you really get a complete picture of what was happening around them.
Oh, give us, Stephen, give us a story from like a random that we never heard of.
Let's see. Well, you heard of me, heard of Yoko. Oh, boy, Yoko, really. I really grilled Yoko on this. Martin Poldin, the attorney who got all of them out of jail, Mick Jagger, George Harrison, John Lennon, he really talks about drug laws, how they went after the Beatles to, you know. There's another guy named David Putnam who's a movie producer. And he was a photographer's agent at one time. He went on to produce a lot of famous movies, Midnight Express and The Killing Fields and Chariots of Fire. And he tells an amazing story of being at a nightclub with John, and the waiter came and took away a half-finished glass of water. And John said, I want that. And the waiter said, I was just going to give you a full glass, sir. So he brings back a full glass, and John puts his cigarette in the water in front of the waiter. And looks up at him. And this guy, David Putnam, said it chilled him. He saw a side of John that he couldn't believe existed, you know, didn't know existed.
Yeah.
So there's that. And then also there's my partner, Peter Brown, who is 88 now, who was there for all of it. So he has his own really interesting observations. So
this sounds like one hell of a book. Are you talking to people about a movie yet?
Well, there are so many movies being made about them. There is one guy is making, Sam Menendez, I think his name is making four movies. Each Beatle is going to get his own full-length movie.
Wow. Interesting.
That's cool.
Yeah. So I don't think there's going to be a movie for All You Need Is Love. But
look, boy, you have film footage of you talking to these people, or is it audio recordings, or how'd you do it?
I don't really know. You know how there's so much legalities and stuff involved in this. You wouldn't believe. So I'm just happy that I got the second book out, and I've lived with the Beatles in my head and in my world since 1980. Since about 1980, and so I love the Beatles, but I don't want to write about them anymore. And
really, I feel like people like you should be the ones who write about them. And 100 years from now, God willing, if we're all still here on the planet, people are going to want to read about them, and they're going to want to read about them from people who were there.
Mark Lewinsky, who is a Beatle expert, is writing like a 3 or 4 volume set, which is supposed to be the historical record. So there's one of those. But, you know, listen, I also wrote a big book about the Beach Boys. It's the biggest selling book ever about the Beach Boys. And I wrote books about fashion designers and all sorts of stuff. So, I mean, I was a rock and roll writer for most of those years. I wrote Alice Cooper's autobiography,
cool.
too. That was a trip. So great. But so I'm kind of done with the rock and roll part of my life. And
You say that now. Maybe you take a break and you come back around.
maybe.
See? Yeah.
See, everybody's considering it.
Because you're good at it, and you're passionate about it, and you're the one who should be doing
it. You just mail it in.
I can't wait to sit down and read this book. Really.
It's fun to read the interviews. It's all interviews. It's fun to read the interviews. And you can kind of skip around, you know, and it still tells the same story. You guys are terrific to talk to.
Thank you. No, you make it easy.
Yeah, man.
We want to have you back. Yeah. I knew that like 2 minutes in. So I knew talking to you, I'm like, we're not going to get everything that
Seriously.
I want to get.
There's more.
Here. So, yeah. Steve, thanks
Absolutely.
So much.
Absolutely. Anytime you want me, I'm just across Long Island Sound.
All right. Well, gotcha. We'll come over there and visit if you want.
Yeah.
Well, I can swim across to see you guys.
Okay.
Steve, thanks so much for coming on. Appreciate it. We're linked up to the book, The Beatles in Their Own Words, All You Need Is Love.
Thank you so much, guys.
Thank
Speak to you soon.
Thank you.
Speak to you soon.